Hey everybody, this is Keith Haas from WRSU FM New Brunswick, Rutgers University's flagship radio station. I am live at the Meadows Music Festival at City Field, and I am here today talking to Los Colones. How's it going, guys? Introduce yourselves.
It's going good. I'm Jay.
I'm Mort.
Okay, let's get right into this. So you guys hail from Nashville, is that right?
Yep, we've lived in Nashville for about 7 years, but we moved there together from Chicago 7 years ago with the intention of just hunkering down in a music town that was a little bit warmer, and we've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, definitely. We really wanted to get in to a city where, you know, musicians were readily available to fill in and make music anytime without, you know, the hassles of figuring out where to practice and we can park where we want to park to get to the rehearsal, all that kind of stuff. Nashville was really easy to make that stuff work.
All right, so very simple questions right off the bat. How did you guys meet up?
Mort and I, our bass player Gordo, they had a band together in high school, and then we met through various like sort of high school bands. I think we started making music together in like 2001 or two, and we had a couple different projects and took some time apart and then came back together. So we've just been on and off making music for, I don't know, like 15 years now. Too damn long.
Yeah, long, long time. But it's quirks, you know.
The quirk. For those that are not familiar with Los Colones, how did the band name come about?
Well, we were called the Clones when we first moved to Nashville. We started the band. This version of our latest band, but the name The Clones was copyrighted already, and we got a cease and desist warning from like GoDaddy.com, and so I think we were just like, what about The Colones? And then we Googled The Colones, and it was just like page after page of ads to purchase cologne, and then somebody was like, what about Los Colones, like Spanish, which isn't even actual Spanish, but...
You're Los Lobos fans, so it was like, oh, well, we could just... Nobody will have that, it won't mean anything, and we can just move on with that part of the, you know, process. We have a band name, let's move with it.
Yeah. Hey, might as well, very original.
It's something, whatever it is, it's something. Our parents don't know how to say it. I don't even know if I say it consistent, like, every time. I'd probably say a different version of it, so.
Okay, so for those that are familiar with Los Colones, they'd say that your sound has a very Dire Straits, Grateful Dead kind of sound. How did you guys discover that sound, and how do you implement it into your music?
As we're getting older, we're just diving more into, the music of decades past, and we just discovered that we had a lot, we felt a lot of a connection to kind of like roots, rock, blues, guitar, you know, just like the musicality of it has a lot of timeless qualities, and we just kind of have been honing in on our take for it. Rock and roll, it's been around, it's probably gonna stay around.
Rock is rock.
Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah, we like the traditional forms, and all of those bands that you just mentioned definitely were keen on those traditions and making them their own, and I guess we were kind of in that, trying to be in that spirit, always trying to be in that spirit, just trying to, you know, reinterpret valuable forms that might not be always celebrated in the mainstream culture, but they seem to work well with our energy, the way we play and stuff. So.
What separates your recent release, The Wave, from other bodies of work?
I guess just in the sense that the songs were designed to be kind of structured in a sort of narrative arc, and there's a kind of, yes, other albums you kind of have more of a sort of a variety of song forms that you kind of bring together. This one was more of like there was an idea behind it. It just kind of depends on, you know, where the creative energy is at the beginning of the album process. I think there was, we used some drum machines on this one and some more kind of keyboard vibes. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what the next one will be?
You have anything to say?
What about you? You have anything to say?
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, this new one clearly is, it's a continuation of an energy that we kind of got attached to, and just it was more refining it and getting it kind of crafted in a way that just felt like we were progressing, and but it was very intentional just to try to keep a through line from start to finish with the lyrical side of it and the musical side of it. But yeah, I mean, this was different than our past releases because we didn't all get in a room together at the same time and just kind of hash out some live stuff and then go back and tweak stuff. This was more built up from zero to what you hear now. And it's just a different way to do it, and we had a good time doing it. We had a really good crew of people to work with, and that really helped aid, you know, in the overall final product with just the production and the mixing and everything like that, so.
I gotta say, The Wave is a fantastic album. We happen to have it in WRSU FM's playlist,
yeah,
so it's been getting airplay.
Awesome.
Yes, awesome.
We love to connect to the college crowd. We're out of college now, so you know sometimes
if you guys know where the kegs are at, just let us know.
Yeah,
there's a party this weekend, right? Somewhere on campus.
I'll give you the deets. Don't worry. Okay. Anyway, one of my favorite tracks on the new album is Molly Be Good. It's a mellow but like comforting vibe. What would you say the song's about?
Well, I guess whatever you want it to be about. But I mean, for me, it's maybe just kind of a subtle, just observation of kind of certain cultural vibes that are happening right now. But it's kind of a subtle sort of critique, maybe. I don't know.
I feel you on that. I mean, listening to it, like the studio version compared to live, just I had different thoughts. It's definitely, yeah, just general observation over everything. Totally get you on that one.
Cool, yeah.
How important would you say touring has been for the success of Los Clones? I'm going to start with a Mort on this one for once.
Thanks.
Hey, love you, man.
Yeah. touring is kind of where we survive and make our name for ourselves. We find that getting out and, you know, if it's 45 minutes or an hour and a half, whatever we're playing that night, it's just good to connect with people on that level. It's a little different than, you know, pushing a song out on the internet or Spotify or however people are gonna encounter your music. The live experience definitely is, I think, a special encounter for what we do. It's different than the record. It's a different speed and different zone. But I mean, I like trying to do both extremely well. But it's just fun to get people out, you know, after if they've had a hectic week or whatever, and they're looking forward to just having, you know, the burden of life lifted for however long. It's just like it's a fun thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we'd like to be touring as much as possible. I mean, yeah, but like Mort was saying, I mean, you know, touring, one, is it's at its best is it's a kind of communal, celebratory, cathartic experience, you know, playing music, and it's kind of like our church or whatever. And
we
two,
got a new van, so we got a tour.
Right, we got a Sprinter van, which is killer. And also it's just, that's how, you know, everyone kind of knows with the music business these days, with streaming just, you know, kind of killing record sales. It's just sort of how in the end you can make your career over time. You know, there are bands that, you know, don't put out sort of critically acclaimed records, you know, like sort of the hippest, newest trends, but they've been touring for 30 years and they have, you know, a whole life that they've built on it. So yeah, we'd like to do it all.
So in your music, you say working together is easy, living together is hard. Would that be true for you guys touring together?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you spend, I mean, we upgraded from, we work together, we're roommates, we make music together. It's a lot, you know, you got to do a lot of, you got to be aware psychologically, you know, of the intensity of the situation. But, you know, it's like if you get a bad roommate in college, it's like the whole semester is going to suck.
Yeah, it's definitely something to be keenly aware of when it's more intense than most marriages, I think, because you're both working towards the same goal and you both have ideas on how to get to that place, and Yeah, I don't know. And it's like, and you hang out all the time, you work together, and it's like, it's just, it's not easy. But at this point, it's kind of like, it's worth it if the music turns out the way you want it to turn out. So that's why you do it.
Right. Okay, so I just got two more questions now. As mentioned earlier, you take after bands like Dire Straits and Grateful Dead, many people say. So what would you say sets you apart from them?
I mean, I don't want to sit here and tell you why we're better than Dire Straits or Grateful Dead, because it's simply not true. But I mean, of course.
Oh, no, you're definitely different than them. There is differences.
You're definitely not as good as
them. Well, I mean, hopefully over time we can incorporate, you know, a lot of elements from a lot of the different bands that we study and that we enjoy, and kind of synthesize it into a kind of new, fresh combination, you know. And I think that's what eventually will set us apart over time. And, you know, I mean, just sort of our individual take on the musical arrangements and the lyrics and stuff, you know.
And, yeah. it'll always sound different because we're just not them. So, I mean, all of our favorite artists over time, it's like, regardless of whoever they were influenced by, it always kind of came out sounding like them, because ideally it's just, you're not the same, or you're not as good, or whatever. Little accidents happen that create a different fabric in your sound. I mean, that's kind of how it works. So, I mean, we've been playing music so long that there's just a natural energy that we take on, no matter what we're like kind of intentionally trying to kind of accomplish. It just kind of sounds like what we sound like, for better or worse. Sometimes it's amazing, sometimes it's like, well, we could improve upon that. But sometimes you're like, that was a great accident, let's roll with that. That sounds good. So
now, a not so important question, totally unrelated to music, just your views, final question. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized... I think the one horse-sized duck.
You think?
I would go with the horses, because it would be really cool to see that many little horses running around. But, and I'm allowed to fight
CGI.
Them, I'm not going to get in trouble. There's no, like, issues, like...
Yeah, no.
No, PETA wouldn't come after me. This is just thought experiment. Okay, yeah. No, I would probably do that.
Okay, so you're the 100 duck-sized horses,
yeah.
Mort.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll go with the one horse-sized duck, just because I think it would be hilarious to see like a really large, stupid-looking duck waddling to and fro.
Yeah. Well, give it a lot of bread and you're fine.
Yeah. Aside from the silliness, thank you for taking your time with me. This was a great interview. I enjoyed spending time with you guys.
Cool, man. Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you, WRSU. 88.7 FM, Rutgers Radio.
We'll see you at the quads tomorrow night at midnight. We're going streaking.
Going streaking!